The epistle for today's Mass, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so do you also. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Christ Jesus the Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came and oversowed cockle among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and had brought forth fruit, then appeared also the cockle. And the servants of the good man of the house coming in said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it cockle? And he said to them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou that we go and gather up? He said, No, lest perhaps gathering up the cockle, you root up the wheat also together with it. Suffer both to grow until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the cockle and bind it into bundles to burn, but the wheat gather into my barns. Please be seated. If anyone have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so do you also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words of St. Paul echo the same sentiments that Christ said when he said, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you yours. Pope Benedict XVI, in his trilogy on the life of Jesus, says that the overarching theme running throughout the Old and New Testaments is that of forgiveness. In the first book of Genesis, man falls from grace from God. And all the other books of the Bible demonstrate to us just how far God will go to bring us back to that great marriage feast of the Lamb and His bride, the Church. Pope Benedict very astutely points out, however, that whenever Christ speaks of forgiveness, it's always in a severe tone. For example, in Luke, Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Or in Mark, we read, And when you shall stand to pray, forgive. If you have aught against any man, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you will not forgive, neither will your Father that is in heaven forgive you your sins. Forgiveness is one of the easiest subjects to talk about, but it's one of the most difficult to practice. We have many examples in the sacred scriptures of forgiveness, like Mary Magdalene, the good thief, or the unjust steward. But I would like to draw upon an example that's closer to our own time and age. I would like to tell you a story of a young girl from the African country of Rwanda named Immaculée. Many of you may have read her story, but for those who haven't, I'll summarize it briefly. She was born in the late 1970s to a humble but well-respected family in a very small town in Rwanda. She was raised in a devout, tight-knit Catholic family that placed their Catholic faith at the very center of their lives. As a child and even as an adolescent, she dreamed of becoming a nun, as she greatly was attracted to a life of prayer and love of God. She was about 18 when civil war broke out in her country. It wasn't as much a civil war as it was a genocide. You see, in Rwanda, Rwanda is primarily made up of two ethnic tribes. And in 1994, one tribe, called the Hutus, rose up, armed with machetes, to eradicate the minority tribe of the Tutsis. For the span of about 100 days, a little over 3 months, over 1 million Tutsi men, women, and children were murdered, about 20% of the entire population of Rwanda. When the attacks broke out, Immaculée Ilibagiza was away at university. She quickly fled the capital city to reunite with her family in the countryside. As the violence drew closer to her family's home, thousands of people flocked to her family's, to her father's property, seeking his leadership, as he was known to be a prudent and charismatic man. He did what he could to help the hundreds of displaced, lost, abandoned, and persecuted, to find them a safe place to stay, to reunite loved ones, or to find safe passage into the neighboring country of Zaire. Running out of time and options, Immaculée's father arranged for his daughter to hide in a Protestant minister's house in the next village over. He was of the Hutu tribe, but he recognized his Christian duty, and he hid six women in a small bathroom adjacent to his bedroom, a bathroom that is only about 5 feet by 7 feet large. It was a very luxurious thing in Rwanda at that time to have a master bathroom. So the patrols that were sent to search this house never really looked for one, and the door was hidden by an armoire. Even still, it was a death threat for the pastor and his family if they were caught hiding any of the Tutsi tribe. He had to keep these women a secret, even from members in his own family, for fear of being turned in. Immaculée said that she saw her own friends, her neighbors, classmates, turn into murderers. Try and imagine the fear and the horror, the despair that she went through, jammed in that bathroom, not knowing if her family members were alive or dead. For 3 months, she remained silent, afraid to breathe, to cough, or even move for fear of being discovered. Being so crowded in that small space that she couldn't move, she said the worst thing, though, was the smell of being in such small quarters, week after week, not being able to shower or wash. She said all she could do was pray, and so she did just that. She was given great graces and consolations in her prayer, and at this time, she would be wrapped in, she said that she would be wrapped up in contemplation for up to 21 hours in a day. She said that in some ways this was the happiest she'd ever been in her whole life, because she was close to her Creator. After about a month and a half of hiding, she received word that her mother, father, and at least one of her brothers had been killed. Filled with rage and anger, she turned again to prayer, but she couldn't. Something was different. She said she could pray somewhat, but it was very hard and very empty. She said she was feeling such hatred for the men that killed her family that she could no longer say prayers like the Our Father, because she simply couldn't mean what she was saying. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So she started saying a rosary, skipping the Our Father. And pretty soon she gave up the rosary altogether. And her one consolation from prayer was gone. The one comfort she had in her life was now gone. She felt abandoned even by God. But she kept hearing these words in her head: forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those. She felt she was justified in her anger, but yet she felt the hypocrisy within her very clearly, of professing her love for God on one hand and holding on to her hatred on the other. After that, she said it was very simple once she realized this. If I cannot forgive in my heart, then I will be miserable forever. I'll be separated from God forever. And certainly if Jesus can forgive those who tried to kill him from the cross, then she would have to forgive too. She began saying her Our Father again, only this time she said it very slowly, very deliberately, intending every word and meditating upon its meaning, and peace again once flooded her soul. It was just 6 weeks later that peace was restored to her country, and she became face to face with the man that had killed her mother and father. She knew him. He was one of their neighbors. Many times he was a guest in their own home. She knew him well, but he could not even look at her. The guards brought her into his prison cell so that she could exact some small bit of vengeance upon him. But they weren't prepared for what they saw her do next. She embraced him, and with many tears, she told him that she forgave him. A drastic example like this is not a part of our daily experience, but how many of us hold onto little faults and we let fester? Little remarks, little slights, injustices, or even great ones. How do we respond when someone cuts us to the core with a comment, a lie, or even a joke? We can often hold the opinion that this person has done me an injustice, and therefore I'm justified in my disdain of him. There may be some element of justice on a natural level in this thought, but there is something higher to consider. If Jesus was willing to suffer and die for this man's sins, not just the ones that he committed against me, but all the secret sins, all of his sins, if Jesus Christ died for love of this man, how can I hate him? But if you will not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you, your sins. May God bless you, and may His Most Holy Mother keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.